As I mentioned, take your Bibles and you can turn to Psalm number 100. This is a familiar, familiar psalm that many times people will look at. And it's an enjoyable psalm. And I want to kind of dissect it this evening. And we'll look at Psalm number 100, and I'll read it for you. You can follow along in your Bible, and we'll go through. Hopefully, if anyone doesn't have a handout, and Brother Mark probably has some extras, but we'll go through the handout to learn, and I've left some spots there for you to fill out notes if need be. But let's go ahead, and let's go to Psalm number 100. Let me read this out for you. And follow along in your Bibles for Psalm number 100. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So that's this very simple psalm, Psalm number 100. And the Bible starts off by saying there that it is a psalm of praise. Now, this psalm, this title is not original with me. Brother Ross, actually, Jerry Ross, who was with us last year for our sweetheart retreat, he has this psalm, and he calls this the How to Have a Good Attitude Psalm. How to Have a Good Attitude. So, and when we look at this, we want to learn what is it that we need to learn through this passage on how to have a good attitude. And so hopefully, I think that's a good way to start off the year, a good way to learn for this upcoming year that, hey, in tough times, in times where we're facing challenges, in times where there's things around us that may be not going the way we want to know how to have a good attitude. And so let us begin and let us look at this psalm today, Psalm 100. Understand, this is called, we've talked about a little bit about the inscriptions at the beginning of the Psalms, and this one says a psalm of praise. That's the only inscription. Some of them say a psalm that's written for Solomon. Some say a psalm of David. Some talk about the instruments that it's supposed to be played on. Some talk about the tune that the psalm should be sung to, but this one is just a psalm of praise. Also, to note, this is the only psalm of 150 psalms that we have in the scripture that holds this inscription. There's no others. So this is a psalm of praise. In this psalm, we're given some details how to have a right attitude and understand this can be a challenge. See, there are people that you're going to meet that just sometimes they just want to be angry. There's people that you're going to come across that purposefully want to disagree with you. There's people who are not even, you know, sometimes when you're communicating with someone, you're trying to understand where they're coming from and you're trying to maybe get their perspective on matters. But there are some people out there who are not trying to understand you, but they are purposefully trying to misunderstand you. So what they're doing is they're taking what you're saying or they're listening to the words that you say, and you see people do this all the time. And if you misspeak, if you say one wrong word or if you say something that's just slightly maybe not correct, they'll pounce on you and they'll say, ah, well, you're wrong here. And so that just discredits everything that you've said. And there's people that are purposefully out there trying to misunderstand you. And in spite of this, we still have to have a right Christian attitude. So when we look at this, what affects our attitude? What types of things that happen in our life affect our attitude? Many times it's our circumstances. Many times it's the things going on around us. It could be different things that different stresses that come into our life. But keeping a right Christian attitude is not the easiest of things. There's so many things that maybe come into our mind that we think about that affect us but we're still supposed to have this right attitude. But what I will say is that God deserves for his children, for the people that bear his name, for the people that call themselves Christians who are a child of God, God deserves for those people to represent him well with the right attitude. So how do we do that? How do we have a right attitude or in whatever situation, as is talking about in this psalm, how do we praise? How do we praise? So think about that. What does that mean? What does it mean to praise? Well, the Bible talks about that. It talks about adoration. Do you adore, when we're talking about praising God, do we adore God? Do we give thanks for God and for all that he's done for us? Do we praise God? So the first things we're going to look at as we look at this passage, we'll walk through it a little bit. And it says, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. But first, we need to realize the points for praise. That's our first point. The points for praise. What points are there that we can praise God for? What are those things? And really what this points to is it points to God's blessing. The first part to consider in this passage is understanding our blessings so that we can adequately have the right attitude toward God and his many blessings. So how do we see that? When we look at this passage here, it says in Psalm 100, it talks about certain things that blessings that God gives us, blessings that we need to remember about God. Go down to verse number 3. It says this. It says, the Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us." So the first part to remember is that God created us. It's he that made us. What a blessing that God has created us. There's no doubt. This isn't something that's up for debate. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139:14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a matter of wonder. Each of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so with that, we realize that our life is not an accident. Our life is not something that's just unimportant. When we look at what the Bible's teaching here, the Bible says that we need to remember that God made us. And that's not just the Bible talks about what God made. In the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, and we go through it, and the things that God made were what? Were they bad? They were good. They were good. And so that means what God creates is good. And so that means that, hey, we're fearfully, we're wonderfully made. That means that what God made, when God made us, we were a creation that was good. Now, when we think about that, we think like, oh, you know, hey, I'm pretty special. I'm perfect. That's not what we're talking about. But what God made is something miraculous. It was not an accident. It was not just happenstance. It was also for a purpose. And so we need to remember that. And that's something that we can praise God for. We may not understand everything that's going on in our life. We may not understand the circumstances that we deal with. But we know what we can go back to and what we can praise God for, what we can have a good attitude about, is that, hey, God created me. I know that it was not an accident. And I know that he did it for a purpose. That's who God is. And we can praise God for that. And so maybe there's times where, you know, somebody may be dealing with some difficulties. They may be down. They may be dealing with some discouragement or some depression. Sometimes where they're not feeling that they're important or things like that. But let me encourage you, let me remind you that the Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God's made you, and he did not do that on accident. And it's something that we can have a good attitude that we can praise God for. We can praise God because God created you. Keep looking there at verse number 3. It says, "The Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people." Another thing we can thank God for is that God has saved us. If you're a Christian, if you're somebody that's trusted Jesus as your Savior, that you've accepted him and you've accepted his death on the cross as a substitution for you, if you've done that, then the Bible says that you have been saved, and that is certainly something to have a good attitude about, because the Bible says we are his people. There's some people out there that are not saved, and they can't say that I'm part of God's people. And that should be something that we cherish. That should be something that we are thankful for. That should be something that we praise God for on a daily basis, and that we stop and we take a moment and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you that I am one of your people. It's not a small thing to be considered a child of God. There's benefits that come with that relationship. There's benefits that come with us being the child of God. And there's benefits that come with having his name. That's the name that we bear. We are called Christians. We consider ourselves by the name of our Heavenly Father. And so when we think about that, that is certainly something that we can praise God about and that we can have a right attitude about. And that helps us. That gives us kind of a check, because it stops us and we say, all right, is how I'm acting, is how I'm thinking, is what I'm doing lining up with that I'm created by God for a purpose and that I'm one of his people? Do those things line up? And so you have to stop and think about that. So it's a blessing that God has saved you, but it's also a blessing that God has cared for you. In verse number 3 there, it continues on. It says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." This idea of sheep, you know, it's something that we have been called all throughout the scriptures. But one thing that's often pointed out is that we're the sheep, but God is the shepherd. And what does the shepherd do? The shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd guards the sheep. The shepherd provides for the sheep. There's so many things that the shepherd does for the sheep. And when we're considering this, God has cared for us. We're the sheep of his pasture. It reminds us how needy we are. Many times in, you know, especially in our country of plenty, and in our country of prosperity, many times it's almost wrong for people to seem like they're needy. But we need to realize that we are needy people. And we need to realize that spiritually we're needy. We need God. We need God to care for us. And what a blessing that our needs are taken care of, that God cares for our needs. He cares for us all the time. See, you can go to a place, and in some workplaces, they have an office building, and at the beginning of the office building, there's like a security guard. And you know what? There's not a security guard that's there. They're there for a shift, but they're not there 24 hours because they have to go get some rest. And after that shift, another security guard comes, and he's the one that takes care. And there's shifts of people. But understand that the Bible even goes into this, that God doesn't sleep. He's constantly protecting us. He's constantly overseeing us. And you know what? That security guard at the front of the office building, he can't see everything. He can't see around the building at the same time. He can't see at every floor. But when we look at what the Bible talks about, the Bible says that God sees all that we do. He sees us wherever we are. His eye is always on us. And with that, God protects us. God cares for us. He's guiding, he's taking care of us. He cares for us all the time. Now, I'm the kind of person that I'm really bad at keeping in touch with people. I don't know if you're like that, but that's how I am. And with church family, with people that I see often, I do okay with communicating with people and talking to them, thinking about them and reaching out to them. But I have maybe two friends that I've kept in touch with over the years that I went to school with, people in the military that, you know, we spent a lot of years together, but I just don't communicate that often because it's one of those things that are out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about the people that, you know, I already interact with. And so I'm really bad at keeping in touch with people. And I say that because that shows that I'm bad at caring for my friends. But that's not the case with God. God's not just going to overlook you. God's not going to overlook me. God cares for us. And we see that there in the scripture. He says, we're his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's caring for us. And it's a blessing. And it's something that we can praise God for. What else is another point of praise? In verse 5, it tells us that God has been good to you. We can praise the Lord and we can have a good attitude because God has been good to you. When we look at verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. Now we say it often, we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And I hope it doesn't become just something that you repeat and something that you just don't think about often. I hope that you really consider that God truly is good, and he's good all the time. And all the time, whatever circumstance, whatever situation you're in, whatever problem that you're facing, God is still good. And so we need to remember that, and we can praise God for that. And those are the things that we need to remember. Those aren't the things that we want to remember when we're having a difficult time. Those aren't the things that we want to remember when we're having a bad attitude and we're going on in life. We don't want to remember that God is good. We don't want to remember that God is caring for us. We want to think about ourselves. We want to think selfishly. We want to focus on what we want or what we want to do and what we think. But the Bible's telling us that if we're going to have the right attitude and we're going to honor the Lord in that, we need to remember that God has been good to you. And we see that in verse 5. Then we go on, continuing in verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Now, we spent an entire week of Psalm study talking about God's mercy. And God's mercy endures forever. It's something that the Bible talks about over and over again. And there's several Psalms that make mention of God's mercy enduring and continuing. And so with that, we won't belabor that. We won't continue to delve into that tonight. But it's something that we need to remember, that that's something we can praise God for. We can praise God for his mercy, his enduring mercy, his mercy that's everlasting, his mercy that was given to us, mercy being something that we don't deserve. And that mercy that is given to us is something we can praise him and we can have a good attitude about because it doesn't run out. The Bible says in Lamentations that his mercies are new every morning. So you may have thought that throughout the day you have done everything to consume God's mercies, and you may have done some pretty rotten things, but know that even though you think they may have run out, the Bible says that the following day in the morning, they're brand new. Those mercies the mercies of God, the mercies that are everlasting, the mercies that are infinite. These are the words that God uses for his mercy. So even though we think that they've run out, they have not run out. They're infinite. It's a deep, bottomless pit of mercy that he is given, extended to us. And so we can be thankful for that. And we can be thankful, and we can certainly have a good attitude that his mercy is everlasting. And one more thing that we can thank God for, or one of the points of praise, something we can praise God, is the very end of verse 5 says, his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. So here we see that his truth, God's truth, has continued and has maintained throughout the years. We see this in two ways. The principles of God, the teachings of God, are something that have continued, that we have seen through the ages. And those truths are unchanging. They continue and they are true back in the time of Moses, and they are just as true in our day here in 2020. But we also see when it's talking about that God has extended us his truth. So we can be thankful that those truths are unchanging, but we also want to be thankful for his truth that he left us. Because the Bible talks about the word of God being God's truth. And so not only has God left us his principles, his truths that endure, he's also left us his enduring word. The word that we have to live by, to understand. And you know what? God's saints had God's word in different ways. And Moses obviously was given the first five books of the Bible. And throughout that, many of the Jews understood that and could read. But what's so much better and what's so much more exciting and what we can be so thankful for and what we can praise God for and we can certainly have a good attitude about is that everything, the compilation, the complete set of what God desired for you and I to know of his truth, of his word, he gave it to us. And we have it here. We have a complete set. Because all the people that we read about in the Bible, David did not have 66 books of the Bible. Moses did not have 66 books of the Bible. That's why in the book of Peter, it talks about that we have a more sure word. We have a better word of prophecy than so many of the patriarchs, so many of the heroes of the faith that we see in the Bible. God gave that to us, and we have more than even they did. And so that's exciting, and that's something that we can certainly praise the Lord about. We praise the Lord because he's extended us truth. So, our points of praise are the first things, and there's many things that we can praise God for and many things that we can make sure that we have the right attitude of. But I also want us to see in this psalm, we see a prescription of praise. A prescription of praise. The Bible says here, it starts off, and we'll look at the very key things that the Bible says in this psalm. The first one, it says, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. The idea here is that of a shout. When it talks about a joyful noise, it's talking about, now, I understand, there's people with different personalities. There's some people that are loud like me, and there's some people that are not so loud, and they're quiet like my wife. You're not going to hear my wife getting up and shouting and saying amen anytime soon. That's just not her personality. I understand that. But what we're talking about is the idea of that excitement that wells up inside of you. And just as much as a quiet person and a person that's not so quiet, both of them can get just as excited about praising God and about thanking God and about all the truths and wonderful things that God has done in their life. And so that's the idea of making a joyful noise. The idea is a shout. One of the ways we would consider it here is by just saying amen and being in the concordance of the, when we look at it, a shout, one of the definitions is a shout with religious impulse. So to me, I read that and I think of, you know, somebody hearing a truth of God, hearing something that's good, hearing something that they relate to or something that maybe God has taught them through the years, or maybe God has given them victory over, and they say amen. They're excited to know that that truth is real, that truth was true in their life, and that truth affected them, and they're excited about it, and so they shout amen. And so the Bible talks about a joyful noise. But I also want us to think about, what are some other positive noises that can come out of our mouth? Well, we think of laughter. The Bible talks about laughter, about things that are joyful, about Proverbs 15:13 or 15:15. It talks about laughter is like a medicine. There's just that joy, that happiness is something that is positive that can come from our mouth. Graceful speech. The Bible talks about in Colossians about our words being full of grace, seasoned with salt, seasoned in a way with grace, that they're kind words, all right? Gentle speech. If you look at the book of Titus, it talks about dealing and the words that we use being gentle. So those are some of the positive things that can come from our mouth. Encouragement. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about Proverbs 31. What is that most known for? Does anyone know? Proverbs 31. Ooh, I'm throwing you off. I'm asking a question. Miss Olivia, the virtuous woman. If you read Proverbs 31, you see many things, you know, to be a Proverbs 31 woman. It talks about the virtuous woman. You know what one of those things are? The virtuous woman in verse 26, opening her mouth with wisdom. Boy, that's a good one.
Verse 21.
26. I wish that there were times that I opened my mouth with wisdom, because I know that there's some times that I've certainly not done that. And so some of the positive noise, positive words, positive noises that can come from our mouth are opening our mouth with wisdom.
Positive
thinking. Correct? And praise. Right. I wrote Psalm 150 verse 6 at the very bottom of your note sheet there, and it says this. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And that idea of praise that can come out of our mouth, how wonderful it is. Now, there's also many times that we give time or we give effort to negative noises or negative words. And what are those words? We can use, sometimes we use words of complaint. Sometimes we use words of slander. Sometimes we use words of anger or bitterness. And when I say bitterness, you know, one of those things often is that when we start thinking of things that have been done against us and we start bringing them up in our mind, those are the things that we talk about. And if that's what we're talking about, that's coming from a place of bitterness. And so we have to be careful with that, because those aren't words of praise. We also see words of discouragement or lies, something that is mean-spirited or unkind, or words that are sharp and pointed and meant to injure. Those are some negative noises that can come from our mouth. We're supposed to have these words making a joyful noise. So when we say, so that's the first exhortation. Then we see the next part of the prescription is serve the Lord with gladness. Look right there. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. See, we're supposed to be serving the Lord, and we can do it with gladness. We should not be doing it grudgingly. Now, we can do it both ways. But what God desires for us, the prescription for us to have the right attitude, is to serve God and to serve God with gladness. What a wonderful opportunity it is to be able to serve the Lord and to serve Him in His house. There's many ways that we serve the Lord, all right? And there's different roles and responsibilities that people have. But understand that we can serve the Lord, and we can do it because somebody asked us to do it. And maybe we say, well, you know, I don't have the best, I mean, this is just what I can do, and that's fine. Or we can realize that, again, This is something that we can do. It's something that we have opportunity to serve God in. It's something that we can do joyfully. It's something that we can do with gladness, that we can encourage other people in, and how important it is for us to serve the Lord, that God points it out here, serve the Lord with gladness. And that's how we're supposed to do it, not grudgingly. We want to make sure that when we serve God with the right attitude, with the attitude that God desires for us to have. Serve the Lord with gladness. The next part is that in there in verse 2 as well, it says, come before his presence with singing. This is an interesting inclusion in this verse. It's a suggestion to have the right attitude to sing. Singing, many times, as we sing praises to God, it can change our attitude. Excuse me. Sometimes we can come into the house of God and we can be in a difficult situation. We may be facing challenges. We may be facing something in our life that is hard. Something, you're carrying a burden. But just being here in the house of the Lord and praising the Lord and coming into his presence with singing, there's something that changes within you where you're just joyful and thankful that you can praise God, and you ought to do that. Many times, sometimes we can come in here burdened, but I ask you that even though you might come, here's the thing. All right, let me throw this one in there. I can still remember when I was a young person that there came a point where I just did not want to be in church. And I would come to church and I would just sit there. Sometimes I would fall asleep. Sometimes I just wouldn't pay attention. I just did not want anything to do with church. And at one point I was old enough and I made my own decision and I said, you know what? I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to go. And so I stopped going. And I understand that that happens. I understand there's days where you wake up and you say, I really don't feel like praising God. I really don't feel like coming into church, putting a smile on my face, and sitting there with a bunch of people. I just want to mope. But there's something about coming into the house of God, coming into his presence with singing praises unto God, not because we feel like it, but because he deserves it. And when we stop and we think about it, we have to remember that regardless of how I feel, regardless of the situation that I'm in, regardless with what's bringing me down, he deserves the praise. And so let me encourage you that even those times that you may not feel like it and that you may feel burdened, come before his presence with singing. And you know what? A lot of times, God will change that as you come, at least for me. When I'm singing, when I start really looking at the words of the songs and really understanding, it just kind of overwhelms you to say, man, you know, who cares what's going on in my life? God is awesome, and God is wonderful, and God is to be praised. Amen. And so when we think about that, we need to make sure that we come into a tune, and that's one of the joys of coming together and having congregational singing, because we attune ourselves to God. There's truths that come out in the hymns, and no, it's not scripture, but it's things that are truth about God that help us to focus in on God and his word and on the message that he has for us, to be able to realize, you know what, regardless of what's going on in my life, I can focus and I can praise God, and I can certainly praise God for who he is, because he deserves my praise. So then we see, come before his presence with singing. We go on to verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. What else is going to help us to have a right attitude is knowing who God is. Understand that when we take a moment and we understand who God is. He's the one who created us. He's the one who's done everything for us. We realize how insignificant we are, but we also, if you really focus in, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. When you take a moment and you really start to think about that and you realize that he is God, you begin to acknowledge and understand his sovereignty. That his sovereignty means that his all-powerfulness. He has power over every situation. He is greater than your problem. He can solve every problem. And when we look at that, we want him to solve the problem. We want him to address the issue. But we really need to realize and know that he is God. And he is the one that has made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so we focus in on acknowledging who God is. Then we go on, and the next thing is to enter. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So the idea here is when we enter, we have to start off with gratitude, with a grateful heart. And if you begin with a grateful heart and just being thankful for what God has given you, just being thankful for where you're at, regardless of the situation that you're dealing with, when you start off there with gratitude, that's going to change you. That's going to begin to change you. And God will certainly use that to work in your life. And so enter into his gates, starts off there with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So then that goes into praise. And then it says, be thankful unto him. That's the next step, is to be thankful. And when it talks about that, it says, be thankful and bless his name. That idea of being thankful is a little bit different than thanksgiving, than gratitude. What that idea of thankful, it makes us to think about having a heart that is ready to give and having a heart of not withholding praise. And that brings us right into the next step because it says bless his name. So we're not holding that back. We're ready to offer him praise. We're ready to bless his name. What does that mean? What does it mean to bless his name? It means to praise, to glorify, or in another way, what does the word blessed mean? Happy. If we're going to bless his name, it means that we make him happy. So our purpose, one of the things that we do when we are coming and blessing his name, it's our desire to please God. So those are the prescription there, the prescription of praise. And lastly, tonight, we'll just see real quickly the purpose for praise. The purpose for praise, again, it goes back to the idea, understanding that God deserves our praise. Praising the Lord is going to help our attitude. Praising God is going to make sure that we are having the right attitude and that we're thankful, that we're praising God. Now, one thing that I'll mention as we wrap up, I've never met a person that would say that they had a terrible experience having a bad attitude. What? All right, let me explain. I saw this. I went to the Baltimore County Animal Shelter one time, and there was a mouse pad on there. And I don't know how many of you have seen these pictures of Grumpy Cat or something like that, right? All right, well, there was a picture on there that said, I had fun once, and it at the bottom it said, it was awful. All right, and so that's the idea, is that no one has ever said that, oh, I had a good attitude and it was terrible. Oh, it was awful that I had a good attitude. No one's ever said that. And a good attitude is going to make sure that it changes us in so many ways. It benefits us. Not only does God deserve our praise, but it benefits us to have a good attitude. So it benefits us to look at things through a different lens, to be able to see many times when we're in a situation and when we're looking at ourselves in a mirror, we don't see the same thing that other people do, all right? But when we look, we see a little bit more clearly when we're looking out at some, we see things better with a better lens. We see it maybe a little bit unbiased. But when we're in the situation, we see it through our eyes and we see it with our lenses and we see it with our glasses, and maybe they're not so rose-colored. Maybe we have blinders on. And so the purpose of praise is to make sure that we need to, that we look at things through the right lens, and that's through the lens of regardless of the situation, we can certainly praise God at a minimum for these things. So, right at the bottom there, we have a prescription for praise, and I did this, it's not quite alliterated, but it's kind of a way for us to remember it. And so I wrote it down for you that takes what we've learned, takes the second point, and kind of puts it in a way that we can kind of sink our teeth into, is number one, shout joyfully. All right, we talked about that. And it's make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Shout joyfully. Serve the Lord with gladness, we can serve cheerfully. Come before his presence with singing, we can sing praisefully. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. When we know who he is, we understand clearly. Next it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter worshipfully, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, enter thankfully, and bless his name, and bless him respectfully. When we respect him, when we understand who God is, when we have that respect for being a holy God, we're certainly more likely to treat him the way he ought to be treated. And that is by having a right attitude. That is by representing him well. That if we're going to carry the name of Christian, if we're going to say, you know, I am a Christian, that we're doing so and that we're bringing honor and glory to him by having the right attitude. And not only is that a great testimony to God, it benefits us as well. It helps us to have the right attitude. And how do we do that? Through praise. Through a psalm of praise. All right? Thank you so much. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word. I thank you for so much that you have done for us, Lord, that we don't deserve. And Father, I just pray that in our lives you would help us to be a people of praise. Lord, that in whatever situation we find ourselves, Lord, I know that there's challenges. I know that we face difficulties. We all do. And Lord, there's times I know in my life that, Lord, I don't want to praise you. It's not the first thing that comes to my mind. But Father, I just pray especially that in those moments, in times where things are difficult, when things are down, when I'm discouraged, Lord, that you would help give me the opportunity to and the reminder to praise you, to thank you, Lord, because you deserve all the praise, even in our difficult times. And even in our great times, Lord, you deserve all the praise. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people that praise you, that honor you, and certainly that know who you are and give you all the praise for it because you deserve it. We ask that you would go before us tonight. Lord, be with Pastor as he travels back tomorrow. Give him safety. And Lord, help us to have a great day as we look forward to the day on Sunday. Lord, help us to have a wonderful day, and we'll thank you for it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.